the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. Like always, I got Jason sitting over in the corner and Ben sitting down on the couch with us today. And your hair looked a little funny this morning. Was it slicked back with oil or was it just wet?
There is some products in there attempting to tame it per my wife's request. It was either, she said we either got to figure out something to do with it or get it cut, maybe a little. So we took the first option.
If mama tells you to get it cut, then you're getting close to the actual line.
It's kind of at an annoying level right now. I mean, I considered it this morning, but.
So you said products. What kind of hair care products are there?
I don't. It's something off the shelf at Kroger that says Dove for men.
Talk amongst yourselves.
You got more hair than I do. I don't understand. You probably use hair care products. I use number zero clippers and soap.
Shampoo.
I don't know. But, you know, for those of y'all that hadn't been listening, I guess over the course of the last 3 months, Ben's hair has been a major topic on the podcast.
Y'all turned it into that. I just.
Well, I think it's noteworthy. That's a lot of hair under that hat, man.
Somewhere around the 1st of February was the last time I got a haircut.
I mean, we're on airways, so if we had a video, though, we would definitely let you poof it out and show it off.
Tease it up a little bit like you did for
loud and proud
Miss Vicky when she come in from California. She needed that visual set on it. But anyway, guys, I guess we haven't talked about rice in quite some time on here, and I think it's time to circle back to it. You know, right now we're in, I guess you would call it, into the throes of rice harvest in the state of Mississippi. So we've been fairly lucky to date. For most of our rice, we have dodged the hurricane and didn't really hold us up that much. And then this next one coming in looks like it's going to far to the east enough that it's not going to impact our rice acres. You're my resident weatherman, Jason.
That's what it looks like right now. I mean, as of this morning, it looks like it's going to tail to the east. But, you know, who knows?
I know some of those pop-up showers that come up the other night, I was looking at pictures on Twitter, and between that Clarksdale, North Bolivar County area, we had some rice go down from them.
Did it rain at your house the other night, Ben? I saw there was like a flash flood watch for, or warning even for Bolivar County.
Yeah, we got a decent shower. Probably not even really decent. I'd say we're, you know, wet's one side of the tree, but the other's not. Yeah. It looked more menacing than it was.
Yeah, the rain during this time of year, especially with a lot of the hybrid rice we have out there, I think we're at about 52% hybrid in the state this year. You know, when it starts getting dry and heavy, that hybrid tends to go down a little more than some of our inbred cultivars that we grow in the state that are really stiff-strawed and more short-statured. So we're hoping that no wind off of this next tropical storm and none of these little pop-up showers keep matting it down. I know we had a little bit go down here on the station that was really, really heavy rice.
The forecast this morning, you know, where they do the yellow and orange and red, I mean, it didn't, you know, it came up, even the wind, I don't know if that'd been a wind advisory, but it came up to Yazoo City, and that was as far into the Delta as it came. So hopefully,
so maybe
it'll move on by.
Might influence some of our other crops in the Delta, but for the most part, you know, our rice has grown north of Yazoo City. So.
The worst thing about that storm right now seems to be how slow it's moving, and then it's going to kind of double back on itself.
Yeah, it could, at that hook that I was looking at, it could end up back out in the Gulf.
Yeah, I mean, it's because it's a hard, the projected path is a hard right turn right now.
Yeah, that's right. But to date with rice harvest, you know, what we've seen or heard is it's pretty phenomenal.
So what's pretty phenomenal?
You never want to throw a number out there, but there's a lot of 200-plus bushel rice being cut on average this year. So if you look at what's coming out early, primarily right now hybrids, not a lot of varieties being cut yet, some diamond being cut out there. But for the most part, the 30 to 40% of the rice we've got cut in the state to date looks really, really, really good. I mean, now, most everything numbers I've been getting is all green. So, you know, there's going to be some shrinkage when we dry it. But we're poised to have a big yield in the state this year.
That's good. It's been a tough one the last few years.
Yeah, we've needed it. Our rice acreage has been up and down. And I used to say it was a roller coaster ride, but if you look at the USDA production estimates that they released middle of last week, it's no longer a rolling roller coaster ride. It's that sharp V peak and down, drop and down. It looks like a big W over the last couple of years where we've had really good yields and really good acres and then to nothing the next year. But I don't think that's going to be the case this year from all indications. And we're probably going to have hopefully level acres next year instead of that big swing down like we normally do.
So you think they can get it out by the middle of October? I mean, the weather, aside from the storm, the weather forecast is pretty positive, you know, for the 10-day projection.
Yeah, I think the majority of the rice in the state will be out by the first week of October, I would say. We do have some extremely late rice.
And that's why I said middle of October, because I know there's some that's late.
I got a call last week, and there's still some rice out there at 50% heading. Now, that is the exception. You know, that's not the rule. So, hopefully, you know, we're going to have that good harvest season we've been wanting the last 3 years. It's held up that way to date. There has been some rice mudded out, but it got gone quickly. Saying that, you know, the other big thing that we've been harping on the last several years this time of year is let's be careful with our paraquat around our rice fields, because we can't have injury to rice even when we think the rice is done. And that's primarily what Ben's going to talk to us about today, right, Ben?
Yeah, it's just, and you know, we've mentioned it several times over the past couple of years. I did a lot of the early season work with paraquat on rice, and Justin McCoy, who's now at the Verona station, he did all the late season stuff. So with that in mind, we've had paraquat going out on beans. The earliest I remember seeing some, I text Jason on a Sunday afternoon, and it was north Bolivar County on.
But that really just ramped up. I mean, in the last 10 days, we haven't desiccated a lot of soybeans in the month of September, have we? Or more so in September than we did late August.
Right. But, you know, it's those beans that I was talking about earlier were, you know, the third or last week of July, something. Yeah. Seemed crazy early. And it seems like just in the last 2 weeks, you know, the first couple weeks of September, we've really desiccated a lot of beans. And like Bobby mentioned, he mentioned a rice field that's at 50% heading, and there's several that are in between that 50% heading and ready to harvest. So all that being said, those are all still susceptible growth stages for off-target paraquat movement to rice. And if I remember right, didn't Justin spray some paraquat on his rice up to 7 days before harvest?
And yeah, still that was his last. Yeah, he did his weekly. So he kicked in like 7 days after 50% heading, and then he went weekly applications, you know, out to a week prior to harvest.
Yeah, and so he was still seeing yield reductions even to that point.
I think the last yield reduction was approximately 9 bushels a week prior to harvest.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's it still can impact yield even at that late, and like Bobby said a second ago, you know, from my standpoint, when rice starts getting mature and senescing and it starts turning that brown color, you know, paraquat spots or, you know, just any of that stuff can blend in so well unless it's just totally hammered, which is unlikely unless it's, you know, a misapplication or maybe right across the turn row. So the extent of the damage really isn't known until you run a combine through it.
Yeah, and we haven't had that bad of a disease year this year either. So, you know, it's, I guess what, last week was the first real big week I've had where, hey, what's these spots on my rice pictures? And normally that's happened before now.
Yeah, I've only had, you know, a few inquiries about it. But one thing I would say on those timings, and I've referenced this on here before with, you know, pre-harvest intervals, you know, when we were talking about mid-season herbicide applications, and a pre-harvest interval in rice is kind of a moving target because different people drain rice different ways, and then you got soil texture, so there can be a lot of time in there. And when Justin did his stuff and we chose to do it based on weeks after 50% heading, that was a fine way to do it, but then it doesn't necessarily translate out into the world, you know, because your 7 days before harvest may not be my 7 days before harvest. It may be 14 days before harvest, and then it may not affect that particular field the same way just because you're not harvesting at the same time. So,
but you got to start somewhere.
Right, we had to start somewhere. And the stuff we're doing now that Tamika Sanders is doing, she's doing hers based on growth stage. So, you know, we're picking up earlier in the season, you know, tillering and then carrying all the way through to the end, but we're doing it on the DD50 program and, you know, soft dough, hard dough, those kind of stages rather than a kind of a time schedule, which I think ultimately will be a lot better and it'll translate more. So if you can say, well, my rice is 25% moisture or 20% moisture, well, hey, it's probably not going to affect it now. But we don't know that yet.
Right.
And so that's where we're headed.
I had that exact call last week from an applicator saying, you know, they're cutting rice right there and I really need to spray these beans. And I'm like, well, you're probably okay, but we don't have the data to say that. And because of the way Justin did it. So that's a real world application to, we did the best research we could do at that time. We learned from it. And now we're taking the next step, which is Tamika going to further refine that down, and we'll be able to say, if your rice is at 20% moisture, you're good to go. Don't worry about it. That's kind of what we're going to get out of it, right?
Yes. And the other related to that, just like we've always said with the stuff you did, Ben, you know, the number we have is far and away worst case scenario. It should never be as bad as the number that we produce. So that yield reduction out to 7 days before the combine, that's a bad shot of paraquat that's hitting that rice. So hopefully, again, that's the data that we have, so that's what we got to say. But hopefully, in the real world, it wouldn't be that extreme. Because then when you get the pictures of rice leaves that got a few spots on them, probably inconsequential if you even knew for a fact it was paraquat. But you still got to go with what you know, and that's the data that we have.
Yeah, and with you mentioning the thing about the pictures, I would say, bar none, most of the rice fields we go and look at that have paraquat on them, the injury level we see is probably 25%. Even the real bad ones are probably 25% less than what we captured out here.
Absolutely. I'd agree with that.
That being said, just to reiterate what Jason said is, you know, that level of paraquat dosage that we used is really extreme. So I meant to say that earlier and slipped my mind, but unfortunately, when those instances or events occur, we never know the rate. But most of the time, they don't appear as bad as the stuff that we've applied.
Yeah, and all you can do is compare it with what you know, and so I think Justin's stuff, he routinely was rating his at probably 20 to 30% injury, depending on the variety and the timing. But that seemed like the number that he usually had was somewhere in the 20s, maybe a little over 30 at times, maybe a little under 20 at times. But, you know, 20 to 30% injury. And we go look at them, and, you know, maybe a bad one's 10.
At most. You know, we've seen some really wiped ones. But in general, your late season paraquat that's just, I hate to use this term, ubiquitous, you know, is it disease? Is it paraquat? It's so light that it's hard to tell. And I think that's what you're talking about. It's never going to be as big as those direct plots we sprayed.
You know, and the other thing that has happened this year, you know, with the exception of the week of the hurricanes. We've had really good weather. I mean, the wind's blowing a little bit this morning, but we've had a lot of really calm days, and days that would be considered to be good spraying days, you know, a light breeze. So we haven't had, you go to 2018 in a big rush trying to get stuff out. Then it ultimately ended up going in the ditch because it ended up raining for however long it ended up raining. But we sprayed a lot of stuff hoping we were going to be able to get some beans out that ultimately probably didn't get out, you know, at the time that we wanted to.
Yeah, and we were making a lot of calls on, do I spray these beans? Do I not? Is it better to spray and then get rain? And, you know, it's always a catch-22 when you're trying to make that decision.
But this year, with the positive weather that we've had, you know, maybe we've been making,
well, you take it positive,
you know, less stressed, you know, we're less stressed about making this application.
Well, I think it's twofold. I think it's positive weather. Okay, first time in a long time that we've had positive outlook on harvest weather. And two, with the low commodity prices, can you justify spending the extra money if you know you're not up against the clock with the weather?
I don't think you'll know that. I mean, you can capture that number to a degree, but in recent years, you know, you've been able to drive down the highway and know that a majority of the fields were getting desiccated. And right now, I don't think our bean crop's quite there yet, too.
And you know what, Trent's number for last year, what'd he say, like 80%?
That was a lot. Yeah. It was a lot. I don't know that. That feels right, but I don't remember specifically what he suggested.
So, guys, that's what we have about, you know, paraquat and talking about all of that. So we just want to remind y'all to be very careful using paraquat as a desiccant on your beans around your rice crop. Now, as we're talking about desiccants, we haven't had a need for it yet, Jason, but this time of year it always comes up, hey man, I'm going to salt my rice. Do I need to salt my rice? So kind of, I know you did a lot of work with that in the past, so walk me through, in your opinion, when I may salt rice, when I may not, and what that means to my harvest capacity and efficiency.
We've talked about this recently. Maybe we did it on the episode we did about when the storms were coming that week.
I think we did. So I think we did. I don't know if we drilled 100% down into it, but I think we did.
Well, hopefully I don't say anything contrary on this one that contradicts what I said on that one. But so we did do a fair amount of work on that years ago, and seems like in Mississippi we're not inclined to desiccate rice. Maybe some of the neighboring states, that's more of a standard practice, and maybe it has to do with, you know, combine equipment, combine capacity. I don't know, it just seems like we're less inclined to do it, but it does come up every year at some point. So the information that we generate, of course, the only thing labeled for desiccating rice, I believe, sodium chlorate is what I was going to say. I don't know that anything else has ever been labeled, you know, any of the PPOs like Sharpen. So the data that we generated, it's not a matter of influencing the yield, because by the time you're going to use a desiccant, the grain's dry, I say dry, it's at least harvest dry.
And I think Justin's data showed that too.
Yes, but it's a matter of quality. So my phone conversation about desiccants and rice usually is, don't put chlorate on this rice unless you got a combine cranked up on the turn row waiting. And point with that being is, if you get over 3 days, we did I think 3, 5, and 7, or maybe just 3 and 7 days were the timings that we had in the work that we did. But I know if you got over 3, then you start losing quality. And then when it stretched beyond 7, it really started turning to mush in the mill. So the problem is, just like this weekend, so I had a conversation with a guy on Friday afternoon about this very thing. and considering putting a desiccant on his rice Friday, but then we had an 80% chance of rain Saturday and Sunday. Well, if you miss the rain on Saturday but you get a big rain on Sunday, then it's, say, Wednesday or Thursday before you can get back in the field. You've got a desiccant on that rice. You intended to cut it on Monday, but you caught a rain and backed you up.
Yeah.
So then you start sacrificing some quality. So there's got to be a weather forecast factor into it too. You know, you don't need to let it sit for more than 3 or 4 days probably, but then on top of that, you got to know that you're going to be able to get in there in
it's
3 or 4 days.
Difficult this time of year too to predict the weather with all these pop-up showers.
Yeah, and that's what it's been for the last week. I mean, it hadn't really rained at my house yet.
But I got a half inch yesterday.
Right. And my dad got, he called me this morning, he got an inch and a half at his place. So
I wonder if they got an inch and a half a little bit further west of your dad. That would help me out a lot.
I don't know about that. It's just what he said. So, I mean, there's that to factor in, you know, however you could possibly factor that into stuff. Because, again, nearly every episode on here we've talked about if we could predict the rain, that we would be not sitting here recording podcasts.
Ben's going to be a better weatherman because at some point that hair is going to start feeling electricity in the air.
I doubt that. I'm sure it'll have to get cut by then.
So you got any final takes, Ben, on the paraquat issue? I know you spent an awful lot of your life looking at paraquat on rice.
No, I mean, not really. I think I covered everything that was relevant and pertinent for this time frame that we're in. And you're correct. I've spent a lot of good portion of the last 4 or 5 years of my life looking at paraquat on rice.
When Justin did his stuff, and I don't remember, so this is an actual legitimate question. His was more, it was a yield effect. I mean, it was a whole rice, not whole rice, but it was total rice yield. He really didn't affect milling all that much. Is that right?
Milling was affect 3 or 4 points, but not as...
It wasn't a dramatic influence. I'm thinking about this chlorate, because the chlorate right. stuff, man, I mean... Legitimately, at times we turn that stuff into meal. I mean, it just crushed. Yes. But I don't remember Justin's data ever being just
his
destroying
milling
the milling.
Right, his milling levels were low, but it wasn't low enough to go, oh wow, like it was the 9 bushel yield response.
Right.
28 days after 50% heading, which most everybody in the world goes, man, we can't hurt that rice.
Because you never even reported milling on your early season stuff. I mean, the grain that your plots made was fine, right?
Yeah, outside of that PD timing. And that was just a function of the rice never really getting to 50% heading before. I mean, when we cut those plots, it was 50%. You know, the rice that was there was 50% headed. So it just it delayed the maturity so much that it...
There wasn't a hat full in the plot to start with.
So yeah, no, so it didn't really matter.
You weren't worried about milling in those plots.
Yeah, at that point, if that's what your rice looked like, it's...
Milling wasn't the concern there.
Well, all right, guys, that's the things that we think should be pertinent to you today as you start trying to finish off harvesting this rice crop and some of the questions we've been getting the last week or so about, hey, we're finally starting to desiccate beans. How do we need to handle this with the new information we have around paraquat near rice fields? So appreciate Ben sitting in today and giving his thoughts on that because, like he said, he spent an awful lot of time on it, as well as Justin, to provide this information to the rice producers in Mississippi. So big yields so far. Let's hope they keep up throughout the year, and let's pray for sunshine and wind to dry this later rice crop down and finish it off.
Yeah, I hope it holds for everybody. You know, not just
we need a good one,
not just for the rice guys, for those guys that don't have any rice that farm everything else too. So folks, we're going to jump off. So good luck on the harvest season. Again, we hope the weather continues to hold well for everyone, and that storm moves on to the east like they're predicting right now. But of course, if we can do anything for you, just give us a call.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.